Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
And I'm Pastor Margaret Michael.
And today we're joined by a returning guest and her husband. I'm sorry. Micah Branson and Chad Branson.
It is so good to have you all at the table.
Thanks for inviting us in.
Yeah, thanks for having us today.
Absolutely. It's always a joy to sit at the table with you all. And it's a time of the year where we're spending a little bit more time together, just preparing for an event here at the church called Hunt to Harvest. And we're going to talk about that event a little bit today. But first, I would love for you all just to share a little bit about your love for hunting. Some people have heard it before, I'm sure. Your love for hunting and how you all engage hunting. I know some people like to shoot stuff and some people like to help others shoot stuff. So I will let you all work that out. But yeah, just tell us a little bit about what it looks like to be in a hunting family.
You go first, since this kind of is spearheaded by the head of the household these days.
So for me, hunting started at an early age. And so I've been hunting since I was 4 or 5 years old, going with my dad. And so the outdoors have been extremely close to me, because at that young age, what did we do for fun? We went out.
Yeah.
So we got to be in God's creation all the time. And I tell her, which I wouldn't let my kids do these days, but at 7 years old, I'd get off the bus in the evenings and go climb in a tree stand that was 15, 20 feet in the air and bow hunt as a 7 year old. So from an early age for me, and dad let me do it, which I wouldn't let my 7 year old even think about it these days. But from our early age, I've been involved in a hunting family. And so being around that hunting family and growing up on a farm, that's what we've done, and being outdoors. And so you get in the outdoors and God's creation, it's just a different atmosphere. It's calming, relaxing, and it's just a good place nowadays to get away and relax and get away from the noise of everyday life. So
I think for me, it started following in the footsteps of the men in my life that took me out to engage with it first. And I can remember my granddad taking me out, like in my pajamas, to go see a fawn in the dark that they had found by the road so that I could get up close. And I remember trying to place my feet right in the footsteps of dad or granddad, whoever's walking ahead of me, and trying to be as quiet as possible. Now I do that with you. I don't know if you realize that. And with friends of mine, too. So it's gone from being something that I did to spend time with family to something that I very much enjoyed and appreciated on my own, you know, and having busy lives and jobs and all the things that people tend to take on these days. It's really nice to put your back against a tree and look up and just have that time one-on-one with God. I read more scripture. I pray more. And feel that stillness more in the fall. And now it has kind of become a community thing. We have some friends that we engage with every single year, and we go on trips with, or we do drives with. And that community aspect of it is probably one of my favorite things about hunting today. Our family, as our kids get older, they're 10 and 7 now, we're starting to take them along and intentionally invite them into that space. And it's been really, really cool to watch them learn to embrace it.
And the toughest part for us is we're both outdoor people. And, you know, you get rid of all the noise of everything else going on and you get to look up to Him. You get to spend time, and so we're both going different directions. But for our family, when we can get our kids or the two of us and we get to spend time in the outdoors together, where we both or all of us come under that less stress, getting time to fellowship in the outdoors, is what's good for our marriage, and it's good for our kids, because it's a totally different mindset of where you're at that time and moment on things. And so some of our best times and things that we do is when we get to spend that time in the outdoors together.
This past year, Chad guided me to a bull elk, and then the rest of the week I kind of got to just tag along and watch him guide, which was really cool to watch him engage in that way. And he was guiding one of my best friends, and one of my favorite memories from that trip is we went up on the mountain and it was looking like a storm was coming in. Ended up with, was it a single rainbow or a double?
Double.
It's a double rainbow on top of this mountain, probably about 9,000 feet, watching the storm come in. And I'm on the ground. I had borrowed some really big rain pants that weren't mine, and so I'm trying to get these things on without moving. They have a real funny picture of the turtle on her back, like on her shell, you know, getting the rain gear on. But we're looking up to this double rainbow, and my friend was like, how can we take this piece with us? How do we come down off of this mountain and take home with us what we have right now? Because she was sitting there reading a devotional. And that's pretty much, I'll take a Bible or a New Testament and a devotional in my pack. And that's the only books I take. And there's no phone. And it's I can't recommend it enough. 5 stars.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's where that piece, you know, we were talking a little bit earlier, I've guided for 23 years in the mountains, and it's that piece that, you know, we all want to go and kill something or kill something big, but it's probably more of that peace and presence that we're seeking than it is actually the hunting for me or killing something. Yes, I want to kill something, as we talked, you know, I haven't killed anything this fall, but just being in those outdoors, you go to those mountains, you can't replicate that when you're up there with no cell phone service, no distractions or noise of the world. Mm-hmm. You know, until you do that, until you take someone, it's a great place to be. And that's why we spend a lot of time in the mountains and try to get away from the noise of the world, and we get to lean into him.
Just takes all the distractions out, and it's just creation and God and you all.
Yep.
And that is something in this day and time that just don't happen unless you're intentional about it. It takes intention, intentionality to find yourself in those places. Yeah. So you've been guiding for 23 years. You grew up like at 7, you started going looking for something to shoot, and I do want to ask, were you competitive with your sister in those hunts? I got to know.
I mean, I'm competitive in everything that I do. I mean, anybody that knows me knows that I'm competitive, whether it was my sister or whatever. But I think the guiding for me over the years, and I started at 22, I've learned that I get as much enjoyment or more enjoyment out of someone else harvesting an animal or seeing that excitement. Because the one thing you don't realize when you're in that moment that you kill something, that excitement and that adrenaline, you don't capture everything that happens around you.
Yeah.
But if you're the guide, you got to stay calm. You got to keep everything together and stay calm. When you're calm and you're not elevated, you get to capture all that. And I'll go one step further. We've been filming. Even when you're the guide and you catch all those things, you don't catch all those things. And so you can relive all those moments on the camera that we missed that you don't even think about or you don't even hear or any of those things. So you get to capture all of it. But, the competitive side, I have that. But to me, is the excitement in watching someone else enjoy that moment when they get to experience something they've never experienced before.
Yeah. And having a front row seat to that. It's pretty awesome.
Yep.
I would say from a spectator standpoint, there was not much competition between Chad and his sister because they have different giftings. And so one of Chad's gifts, I guess you could say, one side of your family is extremely lucky, and they have a horseshoe. And it, I mean, all I had to do was sit with him this year, you know, been hunting this place for 5-6 years, couldn't do that on my own. But when he went with me, I was successful, that kind of aggravating stuff. His sister.
She does question me, though.
We'll get to that. His sister is an incredibly intentional individual. she is Mary sitting at Jesus' feet, right? And so she notices all these details. She's also a natural teacher. And so if you were to watch them, they both debone deer pretty quickly, and it's pretty amazing to watch. Renee will walk you through it and say this step and then this step, and she...
The teacher in her.
Very teacher-oriented, and I love to watch her engage with my kids in the outdoors because I know that they're learning and absorbing from her in a way that I can't articulate, Chad can't articulate.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
But Chad also... Another one of my favorite memories from Colorado, this was from 21 when I first went hunting with him. And I had been wrangling, so I had been around it, but I hadn't hunted for myself in some time. And we came out of the tent, and I went to go to the bathroom, and you could hear a bull elk, like, bugle and gather up his cows, and he was right in the field with us. It was awesome. And I walked back in, and I was like, so what's your plan? He goes, the woods will tell you how to hunt if you just listen. Mm. And he changed his plan because of what he heard. And so that has stuck with me, too.
But isn't that, you know, I always say that. That's one of my sayings. The woods will tell you to hunt. You just have to listen. But it's the same thing with God. God will tell us and speak to us, but do we listen all the time? And if we just take the time to listen, just like we do hunting, he will lead us and guide us and tell us and give us the knowledge or give us what we need to make those decisions or to go down this path. But how many times do we get so busy that we don't take time to listen? And that's just what she said. The woods tell you how to hunt. You just have to listen, be still, and take it all in.
Yeah. Yeah. That's powerful. That'll preach.
Is that why you take long times to make decisions? People just want a decision out of him. He's going to wait and give him a thought out one.
Yep.
We also mentioned that we have an event called Hunt to Harvest. This is a third year, is that correct? Third year of Hunt to Harvest. So talk about, we used to have something called the Sportsman's Dinner. So this is kind of a reinvent or renewal of that, but if y'all want to talk about kind of Hunt to Harvest, what is Hunt to Harvest?
See, I'm doing a new thing from Saya. So we actually attended the sportsman's banquets before with quite a few friends at the table and always enjoyed engaging in that. And then when that went away, I guess it was during COVID.
Yeah.
I don't know whose idea it was. I'm going to guess it was somebody at this table.
Well,
to gather folks to bring that back.
Yeah, and to bring that back, you know, I'm passionate about the outdoors, and, you know, God speaks to me in the outdoors when I'm there, and I can drown out. And so I wanted to bring it back, and we changed it to Hunt to Harvest just because, you know, there's all of us have those passions and things that we like to do, and God speaks through us a lot in those things that we like to do or what we're good at, because that's when we pay attention. And we don't always pay attention if it's not something that we like or we're involved in. And
passionate about it.
And so Hunt to Harvest and bringing back a banquet to where we have people that are like-minded, like to do the same things we like to do, and tie the two together, because that's us. You know, we've tied the two together, and bringing that back so that other people can come here and we can tie that in, their love of the outdoors, whether it's hunting, whether it's fishing, whether it's just being in nature, tying that in and being able to bring them closer to him.
Yeah.
And so that's bringing Hunt to Harvest back and redoing a little bit for me, and pushing to get this, because I kept pushing to bring it back, is I want to tie the two together, because it's tied together for me, and it speaks to me all the time. That's why I get away and do those. So I want to tie those people that love the outdoors, that love hunting and fishing, I want to bring them into an atmosphere that we can give them the tools or give them a message that plants a seed for them to dig deeper into him. Mm-hmm. And so this is a way that we can relate the two and plant some seeds with those folks so they can see that come to fruition.
Yeah, when they hear a story, like there's usually a panel and there's some good conversation on that panel. And in some of the things that are shared, I know recently, I was with Steve, and we were in the woods, and it was a place where he's kind of prepared the deer for. And there's a licking branch. Well, you know what I thought about? I thought about the story of her cutting the licking branch, right?
You're welcome.
I just threw you under the bus. But I am
again.
And if you've been to the past Hunt to Harvest, I think that was said at one of the Hunt to Harvest.
Yeah, it was.
The licking branch. So
and it was. But when I was there, it took me right back to that place and remembering. And that's this idea of planting seeds. And it was, for those that have no idea, it was just a funny husband-wife conversation that happened. And they were transparent enough to share that.
Which we have quite a few of those when we're hunting together.
Yeah,
it's usually at my expense, but give a woman a power tool and a job, and she's going to do it.
I know what you mean. But that, you know, it is, to me, when I think about Hunt to Harvest, those are discipleship moments. Those are moments where we can be real, you know. Some people today really don't want to walk into church on Sunday morning. They're not sure about that. And how they feel about that, maybe it's just something that's not even been a part of their life, but they have the opportunity to walk in the doors, and they have the opportunity to be loved on, eat some really good food, and hear some stories about hunting. And even in you all sharing that story, there's a modeling of, you know, the fact that even just as because you're believers don't mean that you don't have an argument, but you're sitting here laughing about it now, and it shows that you got beyond it. I think.
Yes.
And we had one of those arguments this year, too. So.
Oh, I can't wait to hear about it.
Do you want to share a little bit of that argument?
Sure. I can share my own expense.
All for the glory of God.
All for the glory of God. If it helps somebody else.
That's right.
Love it. So I had hunted the same place for, this will be the sixth year.
Yep.
And for the first 5 years, I went with my gals, and we have had a great time. Other stories Margaret loves involve our shenanigans with game cameras, which Chad has said not a whole lot about the things that show up, but I'll just say that a human-sized possum and Darth Vader are just a few of the favorites among our viewers. But this year, I went with my husband early, as he's like, we are not busy this weekend, and I'd like to take you for shotgun season. And so we went out together, and I sat for about an hour probably before I started griping. Yeah. And
you would think after 23 years of being a guide that you would listen to the guide, but you know, what's 23 years of experience?
So we're sitting in this blind and seeing nothing. I was like, there's a squirrel. And I was like, you know, I should have told you, but I've sat here for 5 years, and I've seen nothing at this place, this particular place, in the morning. And I was kind of disgusted with myself, actually, for not having the courage to say, I've sat here, and I've seen nothing for, this will be year number six. And I think I was fairly respectful about it.
You're putting it mildly. I mean, it was a dissertation for 3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah, I was talking a lot. And so I was like, yeah, nothing's coming here in the morning, and we could have sat anywhere, and here we sit. And so, you know, the devil's setting in. And I even had him convinced, I think.
Yes, you were starting
to convince you.
I was questioning
that you were
myself,
wrong.
That I was wrong.
And then I said, there's a buck. And then I didn't
Within
want a marriage.
Within 5 minutes of this conversation.
Right. I didn't want a marriage problem, so I quit looking at the horns. I'm like, is it a shooter? Can I shoot it? And I quit looking. I like looked down intentionally because I was like, I don't even want to have a conversation about this if he says no. So 2 seconds, he puts up the binoculars. He says yes. It comes. I was like, can you stop it? Because I wasn't going to try to stop it myself when I have the guide next to me, who's the professional. Mm-hmm. And so he stopped it at 35 yards, and I shot the biggest buck of my entire life that I have ever seen on the hoof. All while starting to doubt.
Yep.
We'll have to make that picture when we put a picture up for on Facebook. We'll have to have the picture of you all with
this
that
buck.
One.
Shall not doubt. Yep. Don't doubt the guide.
So you were starting to doubt. She was talking you into
Well, when you sit there and listen to your wife for 3 or 4 minutes telling you why you shouldn't be here, yes, I was starting to doubt. But you know, God has humor.
Yeah.
I mean, in that moment, it was quite hilarious.
He's like, I'm going to show her, right?
Yep, exactly.
So why'd you pick that spot?
Why did I pick that spot? Because I do watch cameras all the time, and I just try to put myself, and this is guiding in general, in the high statistic spots that I see the most bucks or where bucks are coming through. And that's been the spot. And so there's been enough there, and that's why we went there, even though she sits there. And she says, I've sat here for 5 years, but they don't always listen to the guide when they go hunting. They sit where they want to sit. And she will tell you that. So, but no.
I usually listen for a sit or two, and then if I don't see much, I would rather see 20 deer and be entertained. And 40 turkeys than sit in a hole where there might be a big buck.
And the funny thing about that spot this year, there's been humor in that spot a lot because that's my dad's spot. He sits there 95% of all the sets. He's 75 years old and still bow hunts with me.
Wow. Compound bow.
Compound bow.
Wow. Yeah.
And so that's where he sits all the time. And we went back out for late season. She'd already killed her buck there. He actually hit a buck that we didn't get there. We've killed the biggest buck on the farm there. And he sits there the first morning and doesn't see anything, just like, you know, my wife was doubting halfway into the hunt. And so that evening, we have one really big buck on the farm. And he goes, that evening, he goes, there's no food in there. There's no deer in there. I'm going to the south blind, away from this. He always sits in this blind, 95% of the time. So I said, do what you want. I said, I'm going here. Do what you want. Our biggest buck on the farm walked by at 3:51 in the afternoon by that blind. And he always sits there, but he didn't that day. Mm-hmm. So,
and our son was sitting with him, who's 7 years old, and that was the first thing on the phone. And then when he came home, Mommy, we were in the wrong place at the wrong time.
But back to hunt.
Patience, right?
Patience. But back to hunt to harvest. I mean, this came out of our passion for the outdoors, and there's been a lot of people at our church that have that same passion as we do that has helped over all the years. And we just want to continue that passion and bring those people into an environment that is friendly and is really good. It's based around the outdoors, that they can walk in, that they wouldn't walk in on a Sunday morning. They can walk in and enjoy some fellowship with fellow hunters or outdoorsmen and listen to a guy that has done all the same thing as far as being in the outdoors and hunting and fishing. So it's just a good way of connecting and bringing people together.
Yeah, and I think part of it, we all know people that love the outdoors and, like you say, don't necessarily attend church. Maybe they don't even have a good, I don't know what the relationship is with church as to why that's not a part of their life. But for me, it's a really great opportunity to open the doors of our church and love on people.
Yeah.
Give them some really good food. And you know, there are people that walk in the door every year. Man, I've known these folks for years, and it's just such a great opportunity to host something that actually points to God and that gives Him glory. And, you know, I've been amazed as we've had these over the last couple of years, the attention that people give to the speaker. And it's just like, so focused in on what the speaker is sharing. And I don't know, it's amazing to be a part of it and to be able to host it.
When I think of Hunt to Harvest, I think about the harvest of souls. And when we're harvesting in the woods, that's all great, but we're really harvesting eternal life.
Yeah.
But we don't just want that for ourselves. And there's a verse that keeps coming back to me in connection with the work here, and it's John 4:35-36. Don't you say in 4 more months the harvest will be here? I'm telling you to look and see that the fields are ready to be harvested. The person who harvests the crop is already getting paid. He is getting grain for eternal life. So the person who plants the grain and the person who harvests it are happy together. And the harvest is about much more than what we see on the table.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. And that's the thing. There is another harvest that we believe is so important.
And Chad spoke about like-minded people. When I hear that, I always think in my mind, like, I want to be single-minded. But it is just the power of that shared love of hunting or the outdoors or fishing or whatever it is that unites us together in pursuing that single-minded purpose to be the harvesters of the crop that is here and to be happy together in the harvest.
Well, and, you know, I'm just this tapestry thing is happening in my brain right now. And I'm thinking about you, Chad, wanting to take people and watch, you know, help them to have a successful harvest. And then what we do here, it's kind of the same thing.
It is, absolutely.
It's, you know, it's that same idea of you're putting them in a place where they can have another successful experience and become a part of the kingdom of God. And maybe that's a sideline thing for me is when, as I'm here on those nights and just watching people coming in and engaging and seeing people that maybe they didn't even realize went to church is here and they, oh, this is your church. And I've had some of those conversations over the years of people that I've known over the years and they're interested in what my part is here. They want to hear the story. And we all have a story to tell about that.
Yeah. It's a great outreach event, really. Like you said, I think, Chad, you were talking about people that might not feel comfortable coming into a church on a Sunday morning, but they're open to come into this. And whatever gets people in to hear the gospel, they might come thinking they're coming to eat some great food or game or come hear a speaker that'll tell them the best place to hunt or whatever, but really that's just drawing them in to hear the gospel.
Yeah, and we talk about, I do want to do a shout out to our speaker this year. A lot of people have been asking that, and our speaker this year is Noel Gandy. He is the pastor at Christ Point Baptist Church in Shenandoah, Iowa. He was a church planner, and he's from Mississippi, and so started a church up there or brought a church back up there. So he's from Shenandoah, Iowa. He is also a board member of a group that we're involved in, Buck Ventures, which we haven't talked a lot about today. But he is the one of the board of the directors, and he's involved in that. And he's a big hunter, killed a lot of big bucks, and just we've heard him speak numerous times and just a great guy. So Noel Gandy's who's coming to speak this year for all those that's listening that want to know who's coming this year. So,
and another really exciting thing about this year is we're going from one night to two. Took a leap of faith. A leap of faith, right?
And we're what,
for the fences.
February 21st and 22nd, Friday night, Saturday night. So, the 21st, doors open at 5:30. We have appetizers, deer barbecue, smoked trout. Goose poppers and deer bologna. So we have those things for appetizers, and so Noel's going to be speaking two nights, and we have both Friday, February 21st, and Saturday, February 22nd.
Yeah, so. And we have after those appetizers, we have a really good meal that you won't want to miss. The food is just, it's going to be a good meal.
Soul food.
Soul food, that's right. That's right.
Well, Chad or Micah and Pastor Margaret, since you oversee all this, anything, it's been great to have this conversation, but anything in closing that anybody would like to add and or share?
At the time this plays, I'm not sure if we'll be sold out or not. Chad, you want to share with people how they can, the best way to get a ticket or check on those ticket sales?
Well, I guess there's a couple ways to get tickets and check on those is our website. You can go to our website and go to events, and you go to events, click on Hunt to Harvest, and you can check on availability. You can buy tickets. We also have tickets available here on Sundays during, before, and after our church services that you can buy tickets on stuff. So we have a couple different ways, or you can contact the church. Ethan's here at the church, and you can pick up tickets through the week.
So that number is 540-434-1092.
Yep.
Well, thank you, Chad and Micah, for joining us today. It's been great to have you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us and letting us share about one of our passions.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I pray that as Pastor Margaret and I have talked with Chad and Micah, Branson today about the outdoors and about Hunt to Harvest, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.